everybody. Off and rolling here on Thursday, February 27th. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, is engineering and producing the show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and Tom, looks like a picture-perfect weekend. Knock off a little bit of that heat where it pushed us into the mid-80s down to around 80 for the weekend. I could go for that.
That's tolerable. In fact, that's darn nice.
It's darn nice. I love it around 75 to 80. Very nice. The only thing it's missing, I do like the tropical trade winds. We don't really have those here, but...
We might have a little of those Saturday.
Oh, really? Okay. Buckmaster, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. When we say that, so many people think I'm over at Green Things. I'd like to be, but no, I'm in this studio naming rights. We're at the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. All of our products... if you haven't sampled some of our stations, like The Drive 101.7, I love that station. Doing so well, playing the kind of music I like. Since early January, we kicked off our 15th year with doing the radio program, and that came after I decided, all this digital TV stuff after 22 years on Arizona Illustrated. I'm a little tired of one hair being out of place. I don't want to worry about that. So I went back to the roots to what I do in radio. Anyway, we've got our worldwide live listening. All of our podcasts are at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, 790-2040, our live line presented by Sean and his gang over at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's get the ball rolling now. General Ted Maxwell has led the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as its president and CEO since 2018. The general has nearly 34 years of military service, including 15 years in the active duty Air Force, and an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a two-star general in 2018, his final military position, Commander, Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, the general was appointed by then-Governor Ducey to represent Pima County on the seven-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He's also the ADOT representative on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. Ted is also a budding Tucson radio personality. I just chuckle because...
But I chuckle too, Bill.
I chuckle because he really has found a home with it. And I remember when he kind of first started with it, and he's just really settled in now, Ted, as the host of the Morning Voice each Tuesday morning, the Tucson Morning Voice. Ted's it's a rotating kind of anchor du jour. Ted's day is Tuesday, and he's really settled in from 7 to 9. That's going well for you.
So far, it's been a great experience at prepping for going to the two-hour show and trying to figure out what I did. I went and reviewed some of the old shows I'd done. Mm-hmm. Just doing the 1 hour from 9 to 10 with a jump in Tucson, and man, was I rough at the beginning.
Those first shows?
Oh, it was terrible.
Remember like when you started to fly a plane? Was it kind of like
that? It felt like that. It was worse because you always think you do things really well, and then you look back and you go, oh, man, that was terrible. But it's a lot of fun. I appreciate you talking about the Morning Voice now. Mm-hmm. It's drive time. It's 7 to 9. Trying to get more callers, more interactive. Five different hosts, five different days, five different completely different looks. My show tends to focus a little bit more on some of the politics mm-hmm. in both the region and at the state mm-hmm. and a lesser extent national. But I try to do that by bringing people that are involved in it in to talk about it.
And just like flying a plane, you really do. When you're on this side of the microphone, when you're hosting a live radio show, you've got to bring your A game every day.
I think that's true. The biggest thing it took me time to learn, Bill, was ask the questions and let the guests go, because mm-hmm. sometimes that's the topic that people are tuning in to listen to, mm-hmm. and that's what you're trying to get their message across not yours. You know, take a little time at the front of the show, take a little time at the end to say what you think.
Yeah.
But it's really, when I looked back on the early shows, there was too much Ted, not enough guest, and guest is the way to go.
Yeah, I like to let my guests, you know, I don't, as you know, Ted, and as the people know me, I'm not an advocacy kind of host. I like to...
Come on, Bill, I've tried to talk you to do some of that, and you just
won't. I like to just let people do the interview, then let the listener, or when I was doing TV, let the viewer decide. And I know you're still very much, before we talk about some of the other business, you're very much, you fly a private aircraft, and I was thinking about that incident over at the Marana airfield. That is an unrestricted, there's no tower.
It's an uncontrolled tower.
Thank you.
Because there is no tower there.
Uncontrolled tower.
So it's an uncontrolled field.
The field had, from what I understand, the funding was there before the pandemic to put a tower there, and they postponed it.
I believe the funding is still a line item in the FAA's budget.
Right,
it's still going on. They are still taking the steps to move it forward. Mm-hmm. This accident obviously will create even more excitement. It's kind of ironic. I think a lot of people took to flying privately when the pandemic came in because, one, it was something you could do during that time. If you wanted to get flight lessons, there are still people that would take you up and teach you to fly. Marana's airport being uncontrolled means that if you're learning, you can come down and do a lot of patterns. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put a control tower in, everything slows down a little bit. That's not always needed at Marana. There's times you might be the only, that's where my aircraft is hangered out of Marana.
Oh, really? You are at Marana? Huh?
We're at Marana. But when it gets busy, it gets busy. And it gets really busy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that field's used a lot for, because you can get a lot of patterns, you can do a lot of different things, is for training.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the training schools in the state of Arizona, and Arizona's got a huge aviation community, but a lot of the ones even that are flying out of Chandler or up in the Phoenix, they'll come down here.
Because,
one, it gives the student good time to learn about flying distance, but then when they get to the pattern, you can just pattern. Mm-hmm. Most important thing, believe it or not, to teach students to do in a plane is to take off and land. It's kind of important.
Yes. One more aviation question, because you know I'm aviation hobbyist, like I'm a Tom Fairbanks knows. I'm a weather hobbyist. I'm a music hobbyist. I have a lot of interests, as you know, in general. I was looking at some of the the tapes for out of Midway on the incursion of a flex jet, which got confused because at Midway Airport in Chicago, there is a joint operating facility. They've got the general aviation, then the commercial aviation, the stuff we fly, most people fly on. But the flex jet was confused about what the active runway was. And we were seconds away, General Maxwell, from avoiding a disaster.
Yeah, I won't say that happens more often than people think, because it doesn't. But the fact of the matter, especially when you are in a urbanized area, if it's just a runway out in the middle, I mean, Marana's even a little difficult, but you go up to Eloy, you go up to Casa Grande, you can see the runways. They're out in the middle. There's nothing around them.
Right.
But the first time I ever flew into North Las Vegas, it was tough to find this little strip in the middle of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So you sometimes have the confusions. And we've had, you know, down at TI decades ago, so I don't want anybody to be in a panic, decades ago, though, they've had aircraft that landed on the taxiway because it was a side
I recall that,
They knew they were looking for two runways.
Yes, yes.
But at that moment, we had one big runway, one real little one, and then you had a big taxiway that looked like a runway.
Right, right.
So they had to actually put these lines on it that were curved lines so that people wouldn't land on it.
Yeah.
Now, after the new runway gets built in down at TIA, it will be very obvious what the two runways are.
Yeah. But it's interesting because if you look at that tape with the Southwest, boy, were they on their game, those Southwest pilots, because they had to determine at the very last second, was the flex jet moving, was the nose of the flex jet moving, and that came within split seconds before they had to do the go around.
That was one the pilots. That's I've never believed that we'd have the civilian airliners that don't have pilots in the front seat. I've always said, one, it's a comfort level for as a human. I wouldn't want to jump in a plane that's trying to. The capabilities are there,
sure,
but what you need is the human there for those kind of decisions, for the decisions on if there's a mechanical equipment failure. And that's why they're trained. That's why they get well compensated, and they've got thousands and thousands of hours of not probably doing much in some people's eyes until they're really, really needed.
General Ted Maxwell here from Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Let's begin our conversation, then we'll take a break shortly. But your organization, along with the Metro Chamber, have been very vocal against the city's Proposition 414. What is the bottom line, General? What did that come down to, that making that decision to say no?
There were several parts of it that played into it really strongly. One is it was going to take us to a 9.2 in the city of Tucson sales tax, 3.1% of that being the city of Tucson's tax. Now everybody goes, oh yeah, business communities, you never support sales taxes. That's not correct. We endorsed 101. We endorsed 411. We were there on the sales tax for the zoo. We are historically in a very cooperative manner with the city to make things happen that we know we need. Here's the challenge with this one. This was started to get created almost 2 years ago. Pretty heavy police and fire with a little bit of other stuff. It's morphed over time. Remember, it was going to be on the August ballot. It's not. Now it's on the March ballot. I'm curious why it wasn't on November. But the fact of the matter is we don't believe that there was enough look at what are the other options. You know, they've criticized our statement that it's a $2.4 billion budget. Well, that's a fact. Do they have access to change all those things? No, we understand that too. But at the North Star of the community, the primary role, you ask any mayor of towns and cities, what's your number one importance? And that is the safety of your citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The safety of the citizens, in our mind, should be embedded in that budget. And to now say that we have to have this because it's critical. It didn't, to use the road deterioration, this concern didn't just happen overnight. It's built up over the last 5, 10, 12 years. Remember, Prop 101 was 60% police and fire, 40% roads.
Yeah.
SLC supported that.
Yeah.
Prop 411, we supported that as well. It was all roads. The city did a great job, I thought, of laying down, one, why it was 10 years.
Mm.
They wanted to touch every neighborhood.
Mm.
And the money was very specifically focused every neighborhood. It's not as focused in this. It's just
not. If it were focused, if it originally, a couple of years ago, the thinking, let's make half of it go to police, half go to fire, do you think you and your colleagues would have been more inclined to say yes?
I've told the members of the mayor, or the mayor and members of the council, that if it had been a half cent or even a quarter cent,
right,
if they wanted to do it this way, yeah, put a quarter cent percent for police and fire,
yes,
put a quarter percent for this the other stuff. There, we were asked at a press conference, tell me what's bad that's in this proposal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, there's a couple things, but the majority of it is needed. It's needed, but it's not. That means that it hasn't been properly prioritized, right? And you're really not giving the citizens the opportunity to tell you what they want. If you want to hear from the citizens, you put it on the ballot in November when it's 70% over. Everybody gets upset when they say, oh, you have to have it on a presidential year in November. And I'm not a supporter of that. I'm not. But if you want to hear what the citizens want, put it on the ballot 70%. You skip that one. You're doing it one that historically is between 24 and 28% turnout, low turnout.
Mm-hmm.
But you slowly just added money to sprinkle on what everyone would agree is a needed category.
Mm.
And I think a lot of the folks, even the folks that are supportive of that, and I've heard from people in the early childhood education field, I've heard from people in helping with the homeless, housing, the amounts of money that we're talking about in here, will they help? Of course, any dollar helps. Will it make a difference? Will it make a significant impact? I'm telling you, it will not solve any of the problems we're trying to address. There is a better way to do it. And it's okay as voters in a democracy. Sometimes you have to vote no to get to a better yes. But if we keep voting yes and yes and yes, and you don't see things improving, we've got the largest sales tax increase in the last 10 years total in the city of Tucson compared to the other 9 major metropolitan cities. Highest. And we've done it all through sales taxes on the backs of the citizenry. I understand you need more money. Let's figure out how, A, you can find it. And I know there's limitations to the charter. Fine, let's fix those. But don't just keep going out on a sales tax. I cannot believe how much the business community, and by the way, it's not just the Metro Chamber that's out there working. It's SALC, Saba, TAR. They're all opposed to this. There's no
Tucson Realtors. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ton of folks that are the business community at a whole, and that doesn't always speak at a whole,
mm-mm,
are opposed to this. But when I hear people say that it's because we don't care about the citizens or the community, that's patently false.
You were in an event this morning, weren't you?
I was at the United Women's event to support and recognize leaders in preschool and early education. A great presentation, great speaker. I cannot tell you how many times, probably over 10, maybe a dozen, maybe more, that the speakers thanked their business partners and the business community for stepping up, because the business folks do provide the funding to get these things done. But this is one that not every business leaders against it, but the majority are by far.
All right, we'll take our first break. More with General Ted Maxwell. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. By the way, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. I always bring in a co-media buddy, Joe Ferguson, who used to be at the Star forever. Now Joe's taken over Tucson Agenda, the new online service. He's doing a really good job. He'll join me as we talk with University of Arizona Professor of Communication, Dr. Kate Kensky. But right now, a break and then more with General Ted Maxwell.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Ted Maxwell's here. General Maxwell heads up the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and he's the representative on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. for Pima County, and he also serves on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. There's always so much to discuss with Ted Maxwell, who is host of The Morning Voice on KVOI each Tuesday morning, 7 to 9. Getting back to Proposition 414, which your organization and several business organizations have advised voters to vote against, the city says now with the chaos in Washington, Prop 414, Ted Maxwell, is needed now more than ever.
Well, I fully understand the apprehension, the business community as a whole on things on impact to Medicaid, Medicare. There are a lot of concerns.
Veterans Affairs.
There's a ton.
Big problems.
And Congressman Ciscomani put out a press release the other day on behalf of, or as part of, the Hispanic Chamber and Council back in D.C. There's a lot of concerns that communities like ours could get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's fine. We've got to all start think, what are we going to do? If a family all of a sudden finds that they've got less money coming in, what do you do on your budget? You establish what your priorities are on your must pays.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, the challenge they've got with 414 is, one, it was designed long before this became a reality that we're facing now.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed trying to fill, as I've heard several folks, including Councilman on your show, Councilman Cunningham, say, well, people are asking us for this stuff. I agree. But when you don't have the money to pay for everything, you have to determine what it is you're going to pay for. And the solution in this case is they're telling us that the federal government's going, the latest argument, and this is a shift to me, Bill. This was not how this was originally designed. But now you're hearing, well, the federal government's going to take all this money away. We need to have this money to keep doing what we want to do.
You heard it this week, on this show with Mayor Romero, right?
Absolutely. And here's the challenge. Just because you want to do something, does that mean you have to do it? What are your priorities? That's why they get angry when we say you need to establish in your main budget, in your main general fund, in your things that you've committed to in your budget, you need to establish your priorities. And priorities for municipality, I already mentioned that you talk to most mayors, the first thing they're going to say is safety. And I think Mayor Romero would say the same, the safety of our citizens.
Yeah.
Infrastructure, a critical municipal need. And these are all outlined in the City of Tucson's charter.
Mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec,
mm-hmm.
You have to have them. Remember, Parks and Rec don't bring in money, so let's make sure that you have a good economic environment that's going to bring in money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll even give them the housing piece, because I think that's a responsibility also for the municipalities to help ensure that people can get housing and we can keep create a structure. Then that needs to be your priorities. The nice-to-haves are what you keep going back to for the voter for a tax. It's like you've got a giant checklist of all the things in the city that you want.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor and council should be the ones that go through and say, these are the ones we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the ones that we have part of, maybe we won't. And when you want to go back out for a sales tax, you go back out and ask for the stuff that you'd like to have, that yes, citizens are asking for, that citizens need, that will help the community. And I'm not doubting anything in here will help the community, but I don't see the things that are going to fix the problems. $1 million to early childhood education, drop in the bucket. Even the early childhood education people will tell you, yes, it will help, but we need a lot more. Same thing with the housing insights, same thing with the others. And there are some items on here, you know, the sober living facility center for $5 million that they're going to put together. They've already acknowledged on at the council meetings that they're just creating the building. They're going to build the building. Then they need to find a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does that mean you're setting yourself up for another cost? Now you have another must pay.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the stuff in that must pay categories that they say they don't have access to. That's because you've committed to things, and then you have to do it. Because if you build that building but can't find a partner who either is going to do it for free, which they're not,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to pay them to operate it,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to hire more city employees to operate it, you're increasing the cost. Where's that budgeted in here?
Mm.
It's not. So there's nothing, you don't want to make this argument about 414, about what's in here or not, because it is all needed. But how it's going about coming around, you know, AZPM had a great debate. It wasn't a debate because they let both sides speak, who both, by the way, were business members,
mm-hmm.
who both, by the way, were members of SALC. So when you hear that you criticize the business organization over here, but we're not. We are not a monolith of people that all think the same. we think a lot of different ways. But Pat DeConcini and Lisa Lobalo had a great conversation. I'd encourage people to tune in and watch that AZPM, and you'll see the difference of the want to have and aspire to have and aspire to be, and the reality of you just can't keep doing it by taxing the city.
But haven't the council members said and the mayor said they've put as much as they can possibly could into police and fire in this budget?
Well, so let's talk the general fund.
Real quick.
Because they like to go to the general fund.
Yes.
Police funding for in the general fund is 30% of the general fund.
Okay.
In Phoenix, it's 48%. Mm. In Mesa, it's 53%.
Wow.
The general fund should take care of all those core items. There's other stuff in there that maybe should be in this sales tax because it's not a core requirement. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to say it, but the reason we're in the situation we are right now, and this they're not going to want to hear this, the reason we are now with these shortfalls is because it hasn't been funded prior. And now all of a sudden we're in this dire, if we don't get it now, I mean, the comment about mean that there might be, I've heard rumors out there that there might be layoffs. You don't even have your current positions filled.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to get laid off. Mm-hmm. If they're being funded by some other source that's going away, they've got open positions in TPD that they can't even fill right now.
All right, General Maxwell, we're actually going to keep you over for another segment. There's just so much to cover. maybe we'll move on a little bit to RTA and other things that you're covering, like the legislature. We'll be right back with General Ted Maxwell, mid-show break on a Thursday afternoon on The Buckmaster Show.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Let's talk about Green Things and the teardown sale. We've called it a demolition sale, up to 50% off. It's a rare opportunity to purchase one-of-a-kind handcrafted Mexican art and furniture. Three of the restored historic buildings must be vacated and torn down to meet federal floodplain requirements. Over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. So the good news for consumers, these are really some wonderful deals that they've got going over there at Zocalo Village, which of course is part of the 13 acres of Green Things. So greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our friends at Rincon Ventures are our sponsor. Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They do such a great job, Sean and the team over there. General Ted Maxwell, we have decided to keep him around. There's so much going on. As folks who follow my show know, we do two segments, but we're going to do a third set. Two is our normal, but we're going to do three with General Ted Maxwell, who leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's president and CEO. He's also on the seven-member Arizona Transportation Board, known as ADOT, and thus he has a seat on the nine-member Regional Transportation Board of Directors. So the reason I give those kind of your bio again is because, like your show now, 7 to 9, which is Morning Drive, I've always felt this show is a noontime drive.
Oh, I mean, it is.
How many people do we know, Ted Maxwell, that are out in their car during noon going to meetings and appointments?
Absolutely, Bill.
And do the errands. Everybody's in the car at noon.
And you've got this. You've got the sweet spot of it.
Yes.
Because you don't even have to get up early if
no,
you don't want
I don't.
To.
So,
and Bill, it's a great point. So before we go on, because I know we may switch subjects, those who just turned in, we've been talking a lot about Prop 414.
Yes.
And we talked a lot. I've been defending the business community and some of the vitriol we've been had thrown our way, and some of the misinformation about our you know, some of the stuff we're saying as well. But it's not just the business community that's opposed to this. This is ordinary Democrats, Republicans, independents. The Arizona, or the Democratic Socialists of Arizona are opposed to this as well. They agree with us on the fact that there's not all this other money being put in. It's not going to make a change. Letters to the editor have been coming in on folks from the city who are opposed to this. Even the Arizona Daily Star came out opposed
that's a good point.
To 414.
Sorry.
So there's a lot of folks that realize that this is not beneficial as it's structured. And sometimes in a democracy, you have to vote no to get to a better yes. And this is one of those cases.
As I said with the mayor, my prediction, it will be very close. And I urged everybody that has a ballot to exercise your right to vote.
And as I've always said on the engagement hour during my the morning voice, is be an educated voter.
Mm-hmm.
Get the information, get the topics, and vote. If you're just guessing or you don't care, then don't vote, because that's your right as well. But our voting is our most critical right we have in this country. But I'll say, the most critical responsibility we have is to be an informed voter.
Amen to that, General. Okay, let's try to touch on, in segment three here, some of these issues that I'd kind of like to close the loop on. And we've had Dr. Trujillo was with us yesterday, or was it the day before? It was yesterday. Lose track of time sometimes. Talking about teachers, will they be shortchanged at the legislature? There's some things that have to happen for teacher raises to continue. Generally, will the legislature come around on the teacher issue?
I believe it will. And it's not just the teacher issue, it's the education issue.
Prop
123 expires this year. Both the governor's budget and the initial glance of the legislator's budget have the funding to make up if we don't get this reauthorized before then, because Prop 123 has to go back to the voters.
Mm-hmm.
But they've both already built the money into it. Where the argument is, and this is where you get into the teacher issue, some of the Representative Matt Grace and one of the senators, Republican senators in the House, J.D. Mesnard, they want all the money in Prop 123 to go to the teachers. Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be that way. Mm-hmm. It was a little less controlled. Some of the other side says, no, it needs to go and leave it up to the superintendents to determine, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of paid employees that teach our children that are not teachers, who spend at least 70% of their time in the classroom. Mm-hmm. It will get done. It mm-hmm. has to get done, because mm-hmm. legally, based on the court ruling, mm-hmm. about $300 million have to be in the budget dedicated for that. And if that money's in the budget dedicated for it instead of Prop 123, guess what? Mm. There's $300 million that neither party can use for what they want.
Okay.
So they're going to get something done.
That's your prediction.
But it will have to come back to the voters. Mm-hmm. And then it will be our responsibility to vote for it.
Quickly about the legislature, anything else you want our listeners to know about what's going on up there?
That's really the big things going on right now. Now, what I do believe you may see, which normally doesn't happen this early, you may see a budget get passed out of the Senate and the House early and put on the governor's desk. I believe the budget, if it goes out in the next two or three or 4 weeks, will be vetoed mm-hmm. because I think it's the beginning of the budget negotiation. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of activity. We're at crossover week. You know, this is supposed to be the last week that bills can be heard in the House of Origins. So everything's going to start getting to the point where there's going to be issues that are going to be voted on that could become laws.
You're very close to our Tucson business community. Are you hearing about any kind of mass roundups of migrants in the Tucson area?
None. Heard none of that going on. Mm. So I don't know if, you know, a lot of times, where would you look at those? You'd have to talk to a lot of the restaurant owners and mm-hmm. a lot of the service industry, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. hoteliers, but I've not heard from any of the folks who run those organizations yet that they've experienced that.
All right. What about the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, next? As we pointed out with Mayor Romero in our interview with her on Tuesday, we have a new leader in Marana. It was not by choice that Mayor Post became the mayor. It was the unfortunate timing with the death of our friend Ed Honey.
I think of Ed all the time.
Yeah, I know. So we had a new leadership there. We have new leadership in South Tucson. Yep. We have new leadership on one of the First Nation tribes.
Chairman Hernandez.
And then we have a new representative on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Rex Scott, who now is the chair of the board. He's turned over to Adelita Grijalva, the vice chair, who now will take a seat at the RTA board.
And that brings up yesterday at the SLC had a meeting, and I invited some of the members of the mayor's staff were there. Mayor Murphy was there. Supervisor Grijalva was there, that talked about RTA, but not RTA next specifically, but the necessity to have regional transportation funding and the difference it makes for us both locally and at the state level. And we are at step four. There's a 6-step process to get RTA to the ballot. Mm-hmm. And we're at step four, which I mean, it'd been years that we were stuck at step 2 and 3.
But you're at 4 already?
But we're at 4.
That was going out finally.
Yeah. That was going out for public input.
Yeah.
At the next meeting on Monday that Mayor Romero referenced is we're going to get to see the results of the survey that was done. I heard over 1,800 people submitted surveys.
Okay.
So we'll get their feedback. And then it's time to make the refinements and try to, step five is finalize the plan. There's some challenges. And Mayor Romero brought up a couple of them. One, the four new board members, they need time to spin up. I've met with Mayor Valenzuela from South Tucson. I've talked a lot before even and recently with Supervisor Grijalva, and she's already pretty spun up because of her role as the chair of the Board of Supervisors.
Mayor Post.
Mayor Post is going to be along the line, and he's well informed on what the Marana's position is. And Chairman Hernandez, haven't had the opportunity to meet mm-hmm. with him, but I'm sure we will. But the bottom line is we're going to have to spin them up. Mm-hmm. We're targeting step 6 is the call for the election, and that mm-hmm. means the board has to have a plan that we can send to the Board of Supervisors, and it has to be a minimum of 120 days prior to the election. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get it to November. Mm-hmm. That's looking a little less likely now. Mm-hmm. But then our last chance before mm-hmm. we lose the funding mm-hmm. will be to get it on the May ballot, which means by about December, we have to have a plan. So we've got to get there, but it's going to take some time because we've got to work through not only spinning everybody up, hearing their opinions, more importantly, we have to talk about how we're going to get RTA 1 projects complete. All the mayors, and actually everybody on the board, is worried about what's the plan to do that, because we need to be confident in that plan so that we can go forward to the voters and say, listen, we're confident we're going to complete all the RTA 1 projects. And now we need you to support RTA Next. Because without RTA Next, transit gets crippled. The roadway projects get crippled. It is such a huge impact. People truly don't. And I'm not doing a great job of explaining it. Telling everybody how bad it will be if we don't have that regional transportation fund.
All right, Ted Maxwell, we will look for your work on the new morning voice on KVOI, The Voice. Mr. Maxwell, General Maxwell, you can hear him mornings on Tuesdays, 7 to 9. Thank you very much, Ted.
Thank you, Bill. I always appreciate the time.
All right. Believe it or not, we have a semi-quincentennial coming up. That's a big word for saying the 250th anniversary of the European founding of Tucson. We'll talk to our friends from the Arizona Historical Society as we continue on a Thursday afternoon.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We send so many of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They are a great sponsor. And it's only about a three-hour drive. I was just thinking as one of the jets flew over from DM, you could probably, Tom Fairbanks, make it over to Silver City and maybe Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo. I don't know how fast you could make it over there, but it'd be pretty
quick. Well, the F-35 can get you there pretty fast.
The F-35 would get you there very
Even the F-16 would also fare well.
It would do the job. Anyway, if you're going by car or motorcycle, and that would be the way most people would be going over to Silver City, it's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Start your planning for an enchanting weekend or midweek getaway in the land of enchantment by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Believe it or not, we have a semi-quincentennial big word for 250 years to celebrate the European founding of the city of Tucson, and that is this year. With me in studio, David Turpie is here. David, a return visit to our show, Chief Communications Officer and Editor of the Arizona Journal of Arizona History at the Arizona Historical Society. David, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And we have Sarah Fajardo is with us, the curator for the Arizona Historical Society. Sarah, how are you?
Good. It's Vanessa.
Oh, Vanessa.
It's okay. Why I look like a Sarah. I
got too much going on.
Maybe
right
I look
here.
Like a Sarah.
I don't know why I said Sarah. It's Vanessa. Okay. Vanessa, thank you for being with us. What's going on, David, with it's kind of been flying under the radar screen. It's a big deal, 250 years. So what are you guys planning?
It's a very big deal, yeah. So, we have a number of things planned, especially this summer and in the fall.
Yeah, because the official anniversary will be August, mid-August. Yeah,
sometime in the 20s. I can't remember the exact date. 23rd or 24th, something like that. But, we have a summer speaker series planned, virtual programs. We have some very excellent historians who will speak about the Spanish period in Arizona history and just the Spanish Empire more broadly in this part of the world. So that'll be virtual. We're going to do some in-person programming at our museum, the Arizona History Museum, as well this summer, so people can keep a lookout for that.
Is there an ongoing exhibit, Vanessa, at the Arizona Historical Society about the Spanish period?
We do. So we do have an exhibit that covers that. Kind of, it's right at the beginning of our museum. You can't miss it when you walk in.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of that transition from the Spanish colonial period and, you know, up until about statehood-ish. But we do have a temporary exhibit right now called Shaping Arizona. And that one looks at how Arizona got its shape, and that one I think is really interesting because most people don't know the various shapes Arizona's taken on, the various communities that have been here, how we got to be where we're at, and I think it's a really great way for people to learn more about the state and see some really great objects in there, like we have the pen that President Taft used to sign Arizona into statehood in there.
Really?
So yeah, some really fun things.
On Valentine's Day,
yeah.
Yeah. Were there some rather unusual shapes originally thought of for the state?
One of my favorites is this weird, really straight line across the top where, you know, Las Vegas was almost part of Arizona because we had part of Nevada. And so I look at it and think, I don't think Las Vegas would be what it is today if it was part of Arizona.
No, I think it'd be a little bit different, wouldn't it? There is, of course, another Las Vegas. Most people probably don't even think about it much, but there's a lot of history over in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Mm.
But anyway, David, what are you planning for the Journal of Arizona History? Is there some special issues coming up?
Yeah, we have, a special issue on the Spanish period in Arizona that will be out this fall. Some really excellent articles that'll be in that issue that sort of take a fresh look at the Spanish period in Arizona history. And then even after that, later this year, we have a special issue on mining history in Arizona. Next year, we have another really cool special issue on newspapers in Arizona history. So a lot of interesting topics lined up for the Journal of Arizona History.
Vanessa, I think people get a little confused, but that the Arizona Historical Society is really located in Tucson and not in Phoenix, in the state capital. How did all of that? Do you know how all that came about?
So our Tucson location is actually our headquarters.
Yeah, right. The
but
headquarters.
We have other locations too. So over the years, it's spread throughout the state. So we do have a location in Flagstaff, and we do have a location in Tempe. So that one's the Heritage Center. So we do really stretch out throughout the entire state and cover all of our history from, you know, Spanish colonial period up until now. So we really do cover that entire period and the state in general.
And the lawmakers were talking about trying to reopen one of the facilities that had been closed, I guess.
Yeah, Pioneer, actually.
Yeah, the Pioneer Museum.
And that actually just passed the other day.
Yeah, Senate Appropriations Committee passed it, and it's going to move to the full Senate at some point.
Vanessa, what's this current exhibit that you were talking about, the one shaping Arizona, mm-hmm. looking at how Arizona got its current shape, in other words, its borders. How about the new exhibit that you put together? I think it's called Proud to Serve, Arizona Stories from World War II.
Yeah, that one actually just opened earlier this month, and we look at Arizona's influence during World War II. So,
which was really darn important.
Oh,
actually.
Absolutely.
We had aircraft manufacturing here. We had aircraft pilot training. It was a big deal, actually.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. I mean, like everywhere else in the United States, everyone mm-hmm. was stepping up to mm-hmm. join World War II after Pearl Harbor. But within Arizona, you also have like a lot of minority influence. Mm-hmm. And so we have a Tuskegee Airman that's from Arizona, George Washington Biggs. He's talked about in our exhibit. We have a man named Lieutenant Edward Chan. He actually will be 102 on May 8th.
Really?
Yeah, and he was born in California, but moved here as a kid and did high school and still lives here in Arizona mm-hmm. and enlisted. Mm-hmm. We also have some immigrants from Mexico who were here at that time. A man named Filimon Chiboya mm-hmm. was not a U.S. citizen at the time. He had a green card and mm-hmm. was working. And his story is super cool. Liberated a town in Germany. And we actually have an artifact from his family that's on loan that I think would be really cool for everyone to come in and see. And so there's just a lot of different histories and a lot of important stories that are being told.
Being the movie buff that I am, mm-hmm. the Academy Award winning movie, The Best Years of Our Lives, there's a scene in there that is filmed at the Boneyard. For folks that don't know about that movie, but it's a wonderful movie, and it's really cool to see all the old planes there. And
of course,
we still have so
we
much.
We do.
Let's go take a quick question from Jeff on our live line. Jeff calling us at 790-2040. Jeff, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have what I think is a simple question. When approximately or specifically did Arizona become separated from New Mexico? Because I believe it was all one territory for a long, long time. And even when they were separated, there was some talk of dividing it east-west. In other words, a horizontal line rather than the vertical state lines. And I'll just listen to the answer on the air. Thank you.
Okay. And the question again, and it's a good one from Jeff, about how Arizona and New Mexico, how that kind of came about. David, you want to take that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So that happened in 1863. President Lincoln signed the Arizona Organic Act, and that separated New Mexico and Arizona as we know it today. So that was about 20 years or so after New Mexico territory came into existence.
And Santa Fe was the capital at that time, correct?
Yes, that's
Santa
correct.
Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah.
So then there were various configurations, Vanessa, about borders. Mm-hmm. Probably some pretty heated arguments, right, over the borders?
Yeah.
For sure.
anyway,
quickly, before we wrap it up, where are you guys located?
We are located at 949 East 2nd Street. We are mm-hmm. just off of U of A campus. We're surrounded by all the student housing buildings, so mm-hmm. you can kind of miss us, but we're there.
Is parking an issue or what? If you want to come visit?
We have our own designated parking area, our own parking garage. We always tell everybody when you come in off of 2nd Street, go straight, don't turn left.
Main Square, Main Gate
Vanessa
Square.
Vanessa Fajardo, thank you, Vanessa,
Absolutely.
For coming in. And David Turpie, good to see you again, David.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you.
Have you back as we get moved toward that big date for the, I love saying this, semi-quincentennial. Coming up, 250 years of the founding. It's important to say the European founding of
Correct.
This area, because people have lived in this area for thousands of mm-hmm. years. Out of time, have to say goodbye. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.